Backyard boss.
Boston Marathon. Brian, we're hitting the ground running, and I mean that quite literally. But
not on the Boston Marathon race course.
No, we can't go on the Boston course. No, we're staying off of that. In fact, that's the whole point of today's show. We're going to be joined right now by award-winning filmmaker Greg Shea, who had this crazy brainstorm of an idea called hashtag Backyard Boston Marathon. Greg Shea, welcome.
Thank you for taking this half-baked idea and helping me bring it to a less half-baked idea that we into the world. People are coming up with cool stuff. Hard-boiled.
This is very exciting. So, Greg, give it to us in a nutshell. What's going to happen coming on Monday?
Well, not going to happen is the running of the Boston Marathon, which is something that everybody, I think, in the Boston area, you know, it's going to feel so unusual. Much of right now that's just so weird in so many ways. But Patriots Day, for people outside of the Boston area, they just don't understand how inextricably linked the marathon, the day off, springtime, the Red Sox, Yankees, the whole combination of that just makes it such an awesome, uniquely fun day in Boston. So thinking about that not happening in the quarantine and all that stuff, going out on a run about a week ago, it wasn't long ago, kind of had this idea to, you know, what could we do? You know, socially distance friendly, but to sort of honor the marathon, but get outside, sort of have like a good feeling connected to the marathon, but not be stupid and get out and actually run from Hopkinton to Boston. Nobody, you know, the city, those towns, nobody wants you out on the course. So that's where I kind of emailed you guys this kind of half-baked idea of like maybe we could do a backyard Boston marathon.
And I immediately was like, I can't run a marathon yet right now, Greg. I'm an old man and not training for that yet. And you said, no, don't worry about it. Only the elites will do that. But really, you actually were very serious up front about it's actually not the best idea to actually run a marathon right now from a health perspective and taxing the body and the immune system. You want to speak a little bit more about that?
Yeah, I think actually my wife Ashley had sent me a link she saw in Runner's World, I think, soon after all this started going down. I had a good friend in the neighborhood who was set to run the Boston Marathon, and I don't know, just being interested in running things and news and tidbits, she passed along the idea that there's some good science behind what running a marathon actually does, that effort to your body. And I think for the average athlete, it could be a good 72 hours where your immune system is really compromised. So
yeah,
not the best idea to probably run 26.2 miles when you've got a global pandemic going on.
No, that's probably right.
And it's kind of all that much better to force yourself to do something different, maybe do it as a team, you know, remotely.
Sure.
Or if you're living with a family or roommates or somebody you're coexisting and you're interested in doing something. But I kind of like the idea that like running is so solitary on its own.
Yeah.
So to do something that's a little bit more, whether it's through social media, but connected to other people in some way, you know?
I think it's a great idea. And of course, Brian and I are just honored to be a part of it. Your video is hilarious. Not because Brian is hilarious or I'm hilarious, but because you're such a craftsman and know to put the right stuff in the right places. I hope people are enjoying it. Well, I hope people come out and do it.
I appreciate you sending me all your raw footage, because the parts that are hilarious are you riffing on the outtakes and stuff like that. So
was 3 hours of outtakes too much for you to go through?
There were a few that didn't make it. If people really want to see the extras,
you didn't do the washing the hands thing. I did.
I stacked like 5 or 6 funny Peter moments at the end of the video, and I was trying to gauge what's the right number of beats before it's like, all right, this is too much. So for people who are really dying to know, there's some good stuff that did not make it.
Now you know how I end every single episode. After the credits end, it's just I stack 4 or 5 Peter being ridiculous, and then beep, and then it's
you make like
ridiculous.
A Peter Club sandwich of nonsense.
That's right.
And you you decide which bit to go to, right? Yeah, that's great. Well, people have been responding very positively to the video and signing up left and right. And a huge kudos to Coach Paul Davies, who, without being asked, quickly created an event on our Strava group. If you're on Strava and you're not part of the How Is Your Run Today group, please join in. And then you'll also see that there's an event for the running of this Backyard Boston Marathon on Monday starting at 10 a.m. And it's just another social media outlet where you guys can post your pictures or videos or tell us how it went. But by all means, put it on all the social medias because we want to see what everybody does.
I just wanted to say thank you to Paul Davies as well. I went for a run this afternoon and popped on Strava and I saw this thing in my feed saying join this thing that's happening. And I have to say, in terms of like how kind of, I'm not the biggest fan of social media, but for my job and making videos, it's a huge part of that, of course. And it was kind of awesome to put this thing on Facebook this morning. And in the afternoon, I turn on Strava and there's a event inviting me to join. And that's like kind of the best case scenario, right? And you're like, wow, Paul Davies, like on the spot, like already creating this thing. So I just want to say thank you to him for that.
Inviting you to your own event.
Yes. Here's how I know the video was well put together, Greg. My son, who reluctantly did the videography for my bits, I said, hey, check out the sequence on YouTube. And he went and looked at it. He said, ooh, not bad. Almost 1,000 views. And I thought, okay, for a 16-year-old to say like that, we have some street cred on YouTube. That's kind of cool.
Nice. Yeah, my kids, I think, similarly were like, you know, they kind of think it's sort of funny when dad's dabbling into social media and YouTube stuff since they're in that world all the time. But at the same time, my daughters were so into the idea. I was like, I need a thumbnail. I'm like, look at us. We're like, you know, three pasty middle-aged white guys. I'm like, what thumbnail is going to work for this? So my daughters were like, we'll draw something. And they totally got into that, which was fun.
I'm pretty sure that my son says that his father and friends are going through a midlife crisis when he's gaming, when he's playing Fortnite. He's like, yes, doing something.
So I'm curious to getting back to the marathon on Monday. So it's this Monday. My wife and I are like, this is happening. Like the kids, I'd say like we're seeing different varied interest levels. I have twin girls who are 13. My son's 15. I think one of my girls is maybe most enthused. My son, you know, he'll have no school. It's a holiday. He would, if left unattended, like he'll sleep till a good 11 or noon. So this is going to be interesting though, to wake him up and be like, you're up, man. Like we're doing the family relay. Like we've all run 13 miles. We need you to carry us on this back half. It's going to be really interesting to see his reaction to this. I think he's the one I'm most concerned about pulling some miles. Cause God knows I don't want to run, you know, north of, you know, 10, 12. Yeah, exactly. I haven't run 10 miles in a while, to be honest. So
what are you hoping to get out of each of them, do you think?
So I think we already prepped each of the kids. We want a 5K out of all three kids. And then my wife's good for, she's somewhere between, I could see her running 4 or 5. I could see her running as much as 8, 9. She's in shape. She does great. Doesn't love running long distances, but for this, we'll see. So I think I'm looking at 10 to 12. We'll see.
Brian, what do you think your distribution might be in your neck of the woods?
I think very similar. I think my pitch to both of my girls was, look, over the course of 4 hours, you can run 1 mile per hour for 4 hours. Give me a break. And I might be pushing them up to 5. I don't know. And Andrea says she'll run as much as she can. But again, you know, we're going to probably take 4 hours to do it, I would think.
Oh, yeah.
So I know I'll do mine in phases. And, you know, we'll see how it goes. I think I'm probably in the same boat as you, Greg. Probably somewhere between 10 miles and a half marathon.
One of the things I'm hoping to do, and we'll see if this remains to be seen again with my son probably trying to sleep till noon that day, this may not work as well, but have either of you guys ever done those like van relay style, reach the beach type of things? They're a heck of a lot of fun. You pile into a passenger van with a whole bunch of people. And, you know, I did reach the beach, which is in Bretton Woods, goes all the way to Hampton in New Hampshire, Hampton Beach. And you literally, kind of like a baton style in a track race, but you have like a bracelet that's like one of those collapsible bracelets that you slap it on the wrist and wraps around. But that's how you like hand the sort of proverbial baton off to the next runner. And it's actually quite fun. I have to say, standing there, I was the last to go in my group of like whatever 7 or 8 guys we had. And I didn't run until like deep in the day. You're just waiting to get in the game. And it's really kind of fun waiting for the relay thing. My kids, of course, are going to probably find none of this fun, but I want to go relay style. I still have the bracelet from Reach the Beach. But I really want to like set up a loop where someone's coming in on that leg and you pass off. So, 'cause I want it to be a continuous relay.
So you're not considering the five of you running together at any point. You're like one person runs, they give up, they hand it off, and the next person goes.
Slap the bracelet on the next runner. I may film some of this with my running with cameras style, like the GoPro on the gimbal, and make a little video out of our experience. And it's actually going to be extra fun if my kids are surly and salty and not enjoying this.
So what?
But I think they will. They're good. They're great kids. I think they will. We'll see.
Do you think it's going to be like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and then 2, 3, 4, 5, and then like you in the end are running for the last hour and a half all by yourself?
I can't wait to see how it plays out, but my sense...
You're not setting up any kind of rules beyond the fact that one person runs at a time, and when they finish, the next family member's up.
I think so. When we get closer, we'll see how it goes, but one of my daughters is a total morning person. The other one, not at all. Like, she'll like to sleep in a little bit. So in my head, I will start this thing. My wife and one of my daughter's hand will be ready to go. And I think my son, we're going to be like, we need him on the back half. You know what I mean? He's going to wake up and eat some sugary cereal, and we need him to get out there and carry us in the back half.
Do you think there's any chance that your son will surprise you and pull a Mike Wardian and run for 2.5 days?
Yeah. Like just nonstop. Goes to Wednesday. Yeah.
Yeah.
I can guarantee he won't, but who knows?
He is
full of surprises. You never know. You never know.
No, I've been practicing the 26.2 ounces. So today, after my 5-miler, I came back here and filled this puppy up and really went for it.
I'd never heard the word swac before.
Yeah, one big swac. Yeah.
Yes. If people haven't seen this video, you got to check it out. It's on Facebook and on YouTube. One big Backyard swack. Boston Marathon, but. Peter used a term that I hadn't heard before, but he's going, can you film that with your phone? You trying to take down?
Yeah. When I actually do it, it's going to be documented, of course. Yeah. And today I will say I got through probably maybe a good 15 ounces before I had to get a breath.
You've been training. Okay.
It was the first, I have a week still or a little less. So I'm going to continually try to do this. I tried to imagine how parched I'll be after a 5K because I did 5 miles today and I was pretty parched. And I was like, wow, this isn't going to work. So keep on working it.
Could you possibly chew some noon tablets prior to
just to have it fizzed out?
To drink? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, just to have it sort of foaming, shooting foam out of my mouth.
Yes. That would be nice.
I could try to do that.
Hey, before I forget, since you asked Peter what this thing's all about, a huge part of this, and you guys were big in helping shape this part of it is you guys have been so good over the years with Millinocket and doing it as a fundraiser for the library and for the oil heating or the heating fuel for people in Millinocket. For sure, a big part of this thing on Monday, I think one of the reasons that you can really get a whole bunch of people that are separate but to do something make you feel good is to do a donation here. You know, this is everybody doing it on your own. You know, this is kind of a Wild West sort of grassroots thing with the hashtag. But my family and I are going to make a donation. You guys talk about in the video as well. But I just didn't want to forget that part of it that I think there's no doubt about it. You know, you feel much better about things. You feel like you're doing something positive when we're all surrounded by a global pandemic. It's doing something active to try to make the situation better and supporting, you know, nurses and doctors or whatever charity you pick. That's an awesome component. So if people do that, we obviously want to hear about it, whether it's, you know, send a note to how was your run today or just posting about it on social media. That's a big part of this whole thing.
Absolutely. It's going to be terrific. And even in just the day that the video has been up, so many people that I know who are not runners are signing on to do something.
Yeah, that's great.
Which is phenomenal.
You did a nice job with that, Peter. I think when we talked about breaking the video up, I'm glad you really nailed that piece of it, of just explaining to people. It's not like anyone who's listened to this, maybe they are runners because of your podcast, but for people who don't run, I think that's such an awesome way to take part that you can kind of be creative and come up with whatever works for you.
Yeah. You don't even actually have to leave the house. And maybe for some people, depending on the areas they are in, and who knows what the weather's going to be like that day. Maybe it's better.
It's kind of all the better, right? In the spirit of social distancing. If you have a treadmill or
absolutely.
You want to do, you know, 26 sit-ups or ounces of water, whatever that is, but just taking part with something and get creative.
Yeah. If it's raining, I really am going to do 26 hard-boiled eggs.
Well, how are you even going to find 26 eggs? That's what I want to know. Start searching now.
It's almost impossible. I'm down to 6 right now.
It makes the social distancing part of it a lot easier. You know, way less people out and about on a rainy day. So I kind of feel like just going for a run around the block or something with the spirit of social distance.
No, totally.
In running in the rain, if you've never done it, it's awesome. You know, people like shy away from that, but
no, it's way better. It's way better, I think, because after a while, you can't get any more wet.
Yeah,
it doesn't really matter.
If it's cold, that's a bummer. But if that's it's not cold and it's raining, right. It's kind of fun, right? You're splashing in puddles and you're like doing something weird that like everybody else is inside, you know?
Well, Greg, I think this is a phenomenal idea and we're so excited to support it. And, you know, you're going to go down, man, in history as the guy who came up with this. And they're going to look to you in the next pandemic to see what you're going to come up with. I know I will.
COVID-25.
In 100 years.
They'll make an American experience about you.
Yeah, they'll be looking for a new hashtag, and they're going to call you for it.
Do you know what also cracked me up, Peter? I think I cut it in the video, but you struggled, oh, is it funny? Of course. I have the pause where you're like, hashtag, and you're doing your...
Because I totally blanked.
But what's great is I ended up having to sort of cut it, but you flipped it, and it was great. You didn't get it. You gave it a long pause, a long thought.
And I went, Boston backyard.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, yeah. That's great.
It's kind of a mouthful, actually. Maybe we could have picked a better hashtag. But
no, it reads really well.
It's got some alliteration to it.
I'm curious. Was I the only one who printed out all your individual lines and put it on the bottom of the camera? Am I the only one who did that?
I wasn't sure. Like, Brian, you had some moments where you're walking and talking. I think your degree of difficulty was kind of impressive there. And I was curious if you were just really good at memorization.
No, I'm a professional actor.
Okay. All right. So me taping it to the camera was just a rookie move?
No, of course Skylar was holding it right next to the camera.
Thank you.
No, but you did a nice job of maintaining eye contact with the camera there. And I'd say, Brian, you're going to get a foam rolling sponsorship gig or something that's coming your way.
From those pale chicken legs?
No, man.
If you want to do something fun.
As I said to you on a follow-up chat, that is the most foam rolling he's done whole quarantine.
It really is. I have not been foam rolling, and it's horrible. It's starting to affect me horribly. Yeah, those IT bands are feeling tight. Greg, and if you are going to cut together sort of a video of this whole event, everybody who contributes an image or a video needs to add the hashtag Backyard Boston Marathon so we can find it.
Greg, we could talk to you all day, but we are actually, we're getting a phone call right now from BAA race director of the marathon, Dave McGilvery, who's way more important than you. So we're going to switch over to him.
I mean, it's Dave, so I have no problem with that.
But we hope you stay on and listen to what he has to say, because he's got some interesting stuff to say too that you might find interesting.
I would love to hear that. Thank you guys so much.
Let's start there. How was your run today, Dave?
That's an interesting quote. How was your run today? It was epic. I ran with my two kids.
Mm-hmm. Excellent.
And come up with a lot of good ideas and thoughts. No, we were talking about, I saw on the news this morning, they were talking to the three astronauts in the International Space Station and just communicating with them a little bit. So as I was running with my kids, I said, it could be an amazing Stephen King thriller is if he wrote that here are the astronauts getting ready to go up to the space station. They're giving the hugs and the kisses to their family and everything's great and the whole bit, and they get up into the station and everything is great. And then all of a sudden, this pandemic happens. And all of a sudden they're hearing about what's going on Earth. And all of a sudden, humans are being wiped out. And then all of a sudden, their screen goes fuzzy and there's no more life on Earth. And they're up on the International Space Station, the only three humans living. And what do? Do they come back to Earth? Why would you want to come back to Earth?
Right, yeah.
What do you do? And I was wondering too, is can the International Space Station actually operate without contact, say, with Houston?
No. I think it stays in orbit for a while, but they'll run out of supplies.
Right. Run out of supplies, of course. Yeah. Unless they went to another planet. I don't know. I'm making this up, but it could be an interesting thriller movie or Stephen King book.
Is this your announcement that you're going to start becoming a fiction writer during the time?
Listen, guys, I've lost so many events that I'm thinking of a career change here. And this could be where
Wow.
I've written three books. The Last Pick, and then two children's books. And I'm into almost done with my third children's book, but I might actually get into some thrillers here.
Well, yeah, we have the time.
We have to.
Every book set starts something like this. Roger was on the run.
Yeah.
And that's it.
That's always the chapter one.
So he's on the run. The On the Run series.
On the Run series.
The main thrust of why we wanted to have you, first of all, we love to have you anytime. So anytime you want, my gosh. We certainly don't want anybody, you know, just going out there en masse and running the course.
Right.
Is there anything that needs to be said as a sort of service announcement that you guys want to say, the BAAU, in regards to that?
Okay. So as far as April 20th, we obviously all recognize it's Patriots Day, and for the most part, for the last 123 years, runners have lined up and run the course. And unfortunately, this year, that's not meant to be. And our new Patriots Day is Monday, September 14th. Given what's going on in the region, along the course, in the Commonwealth, around the country, and around the world, our focus should really turn towards those in need and doing our part. And doing our part actually means staying away from the Boston Marathon course on April 20th, because all the resources that one would need to make runners safe will not be there. They're busy taking care of their communities. And it would be really selfish for runners to say, well, I'm entitled, I qualified, or I raised the money, or whatever it might be. So I've earned the right to do this, and I'm not going to be denied that opportunity. Compare it to really what happened in 2013. So 6,500 runners did not get to finish the marathon, but in our eyes, they did. They finished the marathon distance that we were able to provide them. So they did finish the marathon. I mean, some came back a month or so later and ran the last, you know, mile and a half or whatever. But generally speaking, anyone who made it to that point, you know, finished the marathon. That was the marathon distance on that day. Well, similarly, the Boston Marathon, and if you want to call it Patriots Day or Marathon Monday or whatever you want to call it, is now been postponed till September 14th. So run the Boston Marathon on September 14th, not April 20th. What I would offer, and what I plan on doing, is if you have it in you and you feel a desire and some connection with the past, or if you have some sort of streak going, then feel free to run a marathon, 26.2 miles, on April 20th, but in your own neighborhood and by yourself, maybe with one other person, however you feel you need to do it. But stay away from Hopkinton, Ashland, Framingham, Natick, Wellesley, Newton, Brookline, and Boston, because those folks who always help us out and are there for us on Patriots Day won't be there because they're doing more important things.
Thanks, Dave. That's it's a really important message. It's also such an odd experience, especially people who are active in their communities, always doing something. Of course, you're famous for getting right into things, creating events, raising money. And in this case, we're all asked to not do anything. Most of us, you know, unless you're a healthcare professional or another essential worker, we're asked to stay home and fill our time with whatever. How is that going for you? What's it like in your home these days?
Well, it's interesting, the cliche that's out there on billboards, and you hear it on the news all the time, is we are all in this together. We will all get through this together. And I've sort of changed it and said, no, we will all get through this apart.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning that truly, and I don't even call it social distancing, I call it physical distancing, because I don't think we should socially distance ourselves. We're not right now. We're social. We're just physically distant. And so that's really where my mind is pushing things is physically distance, not socially. People need to be social more than anything right now. You know, God, I mean, I feel so bad for those people who live at home alone. My sister, she's 67 and she lives alone. And I feel so bad because she's lonely right now. And I call her and it's tough to even go visit her because there's this sensitivity to that, you know, and I have kids at home and she doesn't. And what if, and, you know, we're all, you know, in uncharted territory here. So we're just trying to be, you know, they call it abundance of caution. And that's so true. And maybe some people think of that as being, that's overkill. We're exaggerating all of this and it's out of control. And well, so what? You know, at the end of the day, we just want to get through this alive and get on with our lives. And this is the only way we can do it. So it is an interesting conundrum to sort of help by not doing anything, in a sense. But there are ways we can help each other, and we need to turn negatives into a positive. We have to inspire and motivate. We can help in other ways. My kids, for example, at home, they make cards. Like they made Easter cards for folks in senior citizen homes and sent those. My staff, we went to our warehouse, all the leftover gloves that we had, you know, medical gloves we had, ponchos that we have, we took all of that, loaded our truck and donated them to a Leahy clinic. So there are a lot of other ways that we can be helpful other than just being together physically.
That's great. That's terrific, Dave. You know, we're trying to hear between our show and our good friend, Greg Shea, who has a YouTube channel called Running With Cameras. We're going to support on Monday, hashtag Backyard Boston Marathon, which is just what you're saying, which is if you're able to and you're interested and you want to do something, get out on your street or in your yard or in your wherever is safe, wherever is physically safe for you to run. Run as much as you can in any amount. You know, if it's 2.62 miles or if it's for 26.2 minutes, or if you want to do a relay team with your family because you're quarantined with your family. And make a donation to any charity that's helping with COVID-19 relief, whether that's for medical purposes or other related emergency services. That's something that we're trying to do just to say, you know, let's honor the day, because it's still, for runners especially, it's in such an important day in this region especially, but for everybody all over the country and in some parts of the world. Mm-hmm. So we just wanted to have you on to say, you know, stay off that course. Don't go to the true big marathon course. Don't make it harder for people who are trying to do other things on that day.
So I have a mock finish line of the marathon. I don't know if you can see
that. Oh, let's see that. Bring that up.
I put it right in front of my mailbox. So that'll be my finish line on April 20th.
Oh my goodness.
Perfect. So I'm going to go out and do loops. You know, I run my age on my birthday every year, and I have this 3.5 mile loop. I'm just going to go out in the morning, do that loop 7 times, whatever it takes, and there's my finish line.
And so, have you measured how much a loop is?
Yeah, it's 3.6 miles each.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Yeah, so I'll do a little add-on, but so I'll do that, and that'll be my Boston Marathon. You know, it's not in my backyard. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not going to do 7,000 laps around my backyard, but I'll do this course that I typically do, and I'll cross the finish line.
But it is in your backyard. You know, you're not running through 7 or 8 towns.
Right. Yeah. Right.
You know, it's all relative.
All within my town and surround the town common and back. And there's, you know, there won't be a lot of people around where I'll intermingle with a lot of people, and it'll just be a very personal thing.
Yeah.
And like my birthday run is every year in August, I do it by myself. It's very personal. And that's how I'll be able to, quote unquote, you know, not as much celebrate, but celebrate in a certain way that the marathon is sort of still alive in my world.
Yeah. I think it's a recognition of everything that the marathon means to all runners and people in the Boston area, and mm-hmm. to us personally. I have two teenage daughters, and between them and my wife and I, we have a 1 mile loop, which is basically in our backyard. We leave our driveway and go behind the house and get back, and we're just going to relay that till we hit marathon distance.
There you go. So, you know, I have a motto you might have heard it. It's My Game, My Rules. And so this is My Game, My Rules. This is how I'm going to keep my own personal Boston Marathon streak alive. This will be 48 for me. So yeah, it's not, it's right now, it's not on the marathon course, and it's not with, I don't run with anyone else anyways anymore, but it's not with 30,000 people. It won't count officially, obviously, but hopefully September will, and September will be here before you know it, and we'll all bang it out then.
Can I ask, just while we have you, Dave, what's from your standpoint, you're very well versed in organizing this race and executing it perfectly each and every year. What are the challenges you're going to experience or are already experiencing in shifting it to September? What does a September marathon now mean for you? What's different about it?
Well, the first thing is we've committed to September 14th. So we have our head down and we're doing everything we would normally do to put on the Boston Marathon without hesitation until we're told to stop. So our plan is to put on a race on September 14th. That being said, you know, the constant uncertainty about what's in all of our immediate future is daunting. So we don't know what the area or the world is going to look like even 5 months from now. I mean, it changes week to week, day to day, hour to hour. What's it going to look like in 5 months? I don't know. You know, September 14th on the calendar is still the summer. People are saying, oh, they moved it to the fall. We didn't move it to the fall. So I've already done the analysis. I've looked 20 years back on September 14th, and I've looked at every hour from 7 in the morning till 4 in the afternoon, what the temperature has been in Hopkinton, in Wellesley, and in Boston on those days at those times. And it has given us some really good data to go on. And the bottom line is it most likely will be warm and then some. It's not going to be, I looked at the long range forecast, which you should never do, but I did for April 20th. And it shows, you know, a low of 44 and a high of 55 or something, but maybe rain. Imagine 3 years in a row rain. Jeez, maybe it is a good thing this thing is postponed. But typically in April, you know, you can expect, and you have those remote years where it's hot or it's crazy, but generally speaking, it's in 50s or 60s. And that's what people, that's good. But now we're going to a summer marathon. And so we have to ramp up for a summer marathon. We probably have to ramp up for September 14th, similar to what we did in 2012. You know, for those kinds of conditions, just be prepared for them. So there's one example of, you know, what we may now need to do that we might not have needed to do leading up to this year. And then again, the whole social, physical distancing thing. What's that going to look like? You know, how do we deal with people being on buses, people being in the athletes' village, people lined up, you know, at the start? I mean, I've got all kinds of plans to address it if it needs to be dealt with come September 14th. My sense is that if we're that sensitive about physical distancing, then I'm not sure the authorities would even allow this thing to continue anyway. So we're only going to continue if it's safe to do so. And if it's safe to do so, maybe we're not worried or challenged too much about that kind of issue. I don't know. I'm just spending a lot of time, and so is everyone involved in the management of this, just thinking about all the different possibilities and how we would address them as we get closer and closer. And then we'll know. We don't know today, but as we get closer, it's just like the weather forecast. You know, if someone says 2 weeks out, oh, it looks like it's going to be a nor'easter, you know, how credible is that? You have 2 weeks out, it can change in a heartbeat. But as you get closer and closer, it becomes more credible. And then so then you can really begin to truly plan as you get closer. So right now it's, you're frazzled because anything can happen. So you have to plan for like 20 different scenarios. But as you get closer, you can start honing in on the one or two that it's probably going to be.
Yeah, it's so strange thinking about, you know, we're not even visiting our closest friends and family, and maybe in September having runners from every state and dozens of countries coming all to one place and standing shoulder to shoulder, which a year ago, 6 months ago, 3 months ago, we would have thought no big deal. And now it's almost inconceivable. Could you imagine the Boston Marathon looking like the Tokyo Marathon did this year, where it's just an elite field and no one else? Would that even be something that's worth putting on?
Well, of course, as this was approaching us in February timeframe, and knowing what Tokyo had done, you know, there was talk about, you know, what might we do, and but it never got to the point where we had to make those kinds of decisions, because the governor or the mayor made the decision to postpone it. So that just got shelved, you know, that what would we do? But in some of those discussions, the only thing that I felt would make more sense if we were to go that route, and I'm not sure that's the best route to take anyways, maybe it should be an all or nothing proposition. But if we were to take the route of maybe just going with an elite race and not a mass participatory event, my recommendation might be, and I haven't analyzed this enough to really have a final opinion, but that we would maybe do the same course we did for the 2008 Olympic trials, where for the elite race, it would be all in Boston along the river and spectator friendly, and just keep it tight and not have to impact eight cities and towns for 100 athletes. You know, they go by and it's over. Like, why would you? I'm not sure what you would see other than a blur. So I don't know. And everyone's trying to overthink it, right? But I don't know if it'll come down to that. I don't know.
Dave, I'm curious if you go with a full normal, in quotes, September 14th as a marathon day, what does that do to the eight towns that the marathon runs through when it's not a holiday? Whereas you have sort of the benefit of it being Patriots Day on a Monday, September 14th, although we're going to make it essentially a holiday. But what are some of the logistical hurdles you have to go through on that?
But my understanding is that when the announcement was made by the governor and the mayor, the intent was to actually declare Monday, September 14th, a state holiday. And I think it went to the state legislature and it was approved.
Well, that's huge.
And it went on the governor's desk for signature, and I lost track of it after that. But my understanding is that Monday, September 14th, if it already isn't a law, the intent was that it will be, and everything that comes with that would be enforced, whether it be no school, whether it be businesses would, you know, close for the day. I don't know. And again,
yeah,
you know, with kids being out of school already, or potentially the rest of the year, with businesses being shut down, then you're dealing with closing, you know, when everything gets back to normal again, maybe. And then all of a sudden we're saying, okay, oh, on that Monday.
Just one more day, everybody.
What? Just give us one more day. What's the reaction going to be? I don't know.
Yeah.
No, everything is just so... This is so convoluted and
yes.
So many moving parts. And
of course,
you know, everyone has opinions, which they have the right to, but they don't have all the facts,
right?
You know? And they don't see the big picture. And it's human nature to sort of like, I think they should do this, but what they're really suggesting is they think we should do what maybe benefits them most, not the bigger picture. And we have to keep all that in mind. We can't just decide based on a single constituency. We have to decide based on the bigger constituency.
you may have 30-something thousand runners, but way, way, way more people on the sidelines and volunteers and everybody who's involved and out on that day dwarfs the number of runners.
Bingo. So, you know, it's interesting, when we had the Nor'easter in 2007, you know, people were saying, for runners in particular, and I'm one, so I'm pointing the finger at me too, runners can run through anything. And, you know, that's a pretty accurate statement. Runners are resilient, runners are tough. You know, I've run through, you know, deserts, 130 degrees, I've run in Antarctica, you know, I've run, you know, big deal, right? So I've done all that silliness too, but just because runners can run through certain conditions doesn't mean we can manage through them. I mean, what about all those poor volunteers that have to be out there way longer than the runners have to be out there and not moving and whatnot? What about the cities and towns? If all of a sudden we have a lot of casualties and we have to transport to emergency rooms, then those hospitals could go on diversion. And if someone goes down in that community and needs to be transported to their own local hospital, there's no room at the inn. That's not good either. We have to think about all those different things. And but maybe the participant is not thinking at, you know, it's not spreading the net that wide. They're just thinking about what they feel they could run through. And that's why people say to me all the time, or have said, oh, they would, you would never cancel a marathon. And I'm like, you want to bet? You know, under certain conditions, of course, you know, it's got to be safe. And here we are, where, you know, we're all, you know, we're still on the fence, to be quite honest with you. Who knows what the next 5 months are going to bring?
Well, and it just shows how, in some ways, lucky and intrepid we've been for over 100 years with the marathon up till now. Maybe it's just been a matter of luck that the conditions haven't combined to move it or cancel it until this, you know, this far along in the string.
I mean, you look at a number of years ago, only a few, four or five, you know, New York City marathon, you know, they canceled not because of the conditions. They canceled because of what had happened prior to event day and the optics of what it would have looked like in putting on a road race when people right down the road were in need of generators and
right.
Public safety and all that kind of stuff. And the decision was made to cancel it for the right reasons.
Absolutely.
And, you know, there were people who supported that and there were people who didn't, you know, and that could happen here too. I mean, could happen in any race. I mean, right now for DMSE, March gone, April gone, May gone, June is pretty much, there's one hanging on, but it's going to go. Mm-hmm. June gone. I'm into July.
Yeah.
And July for me is two races. One is at Gillette Stadium, mm-hmm. finish at the 50. One's at Fenway Park, run the home base.
Yep.
They're on the fence. And, you know, the reason why there's no specific postponement for those yet is that we don't know what those schedules are going to look like, whether there'll even be a baseball season. So, you know, where do we put the race if we don't know what the Red Sox schedule is? And so that one's like, I'm not really sure. But if July gets wiped out, I'm into August.
Right.
And, you know, I have 35 events or had this year, and they're just going over the cliff on me right now. So not to be selfish, but I mean, this is the very nature of what a company like DMSE does is get a lot of people together in a small amount of space. That's what we do.
And breathe a lot.
And breathe a lot on each other. Mm-hmm. And what we're being told to do is not do that. So, and when will it be safe to do that again? I don't know. And the more of these that go away on me, I don't know. What does that mean for the business? You know, not, and again, I'm not crying poor or trying to be selfish, but you know, at some point in time, you know, it all, you're going to turn the lights off.
Yeah, right? No, it all adds up. And what does that long-term mean then? Right. Exactly.
Yeah. And another interesting phenomenon at all of this is, you know, as you just said, long-term, I mean, I've never seen so many people walking by my house, you know, on my street in my neighborhood are running, you know, people are running who never ran before. You know, is this going to spur on the next, you know, running boom, you know, after Frank Shorter and after philanthropy? And now it's like another whole reason why people are getting off the couch and getting out there, because it's the only thing they can do. And then all of a sudden they may become a lifer. And, you know, when we do get back into business and come out of our bunkers, is the interest level in what we do going to be off the charts? Maybe it is. And then maybe there's a temporary sort of slowdown in terms of the fear factor, and maybe things slow for a while until this thing gets really cleaned up. The vaccine is out. I mean, I even just read that the governor of Connecticut, I believe, basically said he does not want to see any mass gatherings until the vaccine is created.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
What does that mean? Yeah.
Does that mean?
Yeah, it means a lost year at the least until it's dispersed widely. Yeah. And
so if the governor of Mass said that, what do I do? Like, what do all the events that I have, like Beach to Beak and Falmouth? I mean, the list goes on, right?
Yeah.
Do you just say, you know, guys, let's just bag it for this year?
Yeah. Yeah.
And come out swinging in 2021.
Right. Right. And there's so many businesses that are dealing with the same thing. I was talking yesterday with the director of a summer camp in New Hampshire, and yeah, they have no idea what's going to happen.
Well, none of us do.
Yeah.
We're all in the same boat. I mean, that's why in one sense, we're all in this thing together, even though we're apart. But
yeah, yeah.
So many different businesses are impacted. And, you know, it's interesting because every now and then, you know, you see something that it didn't resonate with you. I mean, I saw something like divorced parents, right? So, you know, they have this, you know, where, you know, the kids like stay with this parent and then stay with that parent. Well, now it's like, can they do that anymore? And imagine that with the kids, like they can't see their father or they can't see their mother. You know, I mean, just things like that, that none of us who aren't in that situation would ever think about, people are dealing with right now. You know, so the way I look at it, you ask me how I'm doing and everything, I'm doing great. You know, I have my health, I'm out running, I'm with my family, everyone's healthy. Yeah, business is taking a whack, but so is everyone else's business. And I just think about what other people are going through in the world, and just, I sympathize with them. I want to do whatever I can to help them. That's my focus right now. What can I do to help? You know, that's my MO right now.
All right. How can we follow you on Marathon Monday to know how you did on your personal marathon?
Well, first of all, I'll have to time myself with a calendar. I got 24. My game, my rules. I got 24 hours to get it done.
Absolutely. No,
I'm doing okay. You know, last year I came back and ran the marathon. You know, at night. Right after triple bypass surgery. And, you know, it was my most emotional marathon of all time. And I thought that this year I was gonna be so much more fit and ready to go and recovered. I'm okay, but I'm not where I wanna be yet. I'm actually disappointed about that. I'm running and I'm doing well. What happened was, long story short, you know, I ran the marathon, and then the next few months, I just wasn't feeling that well. I went and had a stress test done, and the doctor said, you should feel ecstatic walking out the door. I said, really? He said, yeah, your results are great. And I said, well, I don't feel great. I just didn't feel good. I didn't have any energy, nothing. So then they did some blood work and found out that I had severe iron deficiency anemia. I was like, where'd that come from? And it was self-inflicted. I did it to myself because I changed my diet so much to address my cholesterol that, unbeknownst to me, I wiped out all my iron intake. I didn't know I was doing that, and I did it to myself. So I immediately went on some iron supplements and reintroduced some things to my diet. Bang, in 6 weeks, I came right back.
And did you feel the difference?
Huge. Wow. Huge, 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 huge. It was like flicking a light switch.
That's great.
Yeah. And so, because before I was running and I had to walk and run and walk, and it was awful. I hated running. For the first time in 55 years, I actually did not want to go out and run because the discomfort was awful and I just didn't enjoy it. And then finally I came back. So I'm back in that sense, but I'm since I just got back, I'm not as fit, you know, competitively as I want to be. So I'm out there doing the shuffle stuff, you know, and I don't like that kind of running. I want to run, but it's, so maybe for me, you know, the silver lining is that the marathon was postponed another 5 months. So I get a little bit more time to get my
extend that training. Yeah.
Yeah. Get in some decent shape. So.
Does it also give you time to grow the sweet mustache, which I am sporting in your honor right now?
That's so funny because I was literally upstairs brushing my teeth. I said, you know, maybe I'll grow my mustache. Well, no,
yes.
I'm not meeting with anyone. I could grow the mustache back and not show anyone for a few weeks. And then all of a sudden, ding, there it is.
Yeah, bring it back.
We support that notion, just if you want our opinion.
We would love it if on April 20th you shared a picture on social media or just send it to us with the hashtag Backyard Boston Marathon. Thanks for a great conversation.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for taking the time out. Stay healthy.
Yeah, same.
Adios. We'll see you soon. Be safe. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Brian, I can't believe we have both Greg Shea and the great Dave McGilvery on our show today. A lot of love coming out of this podcast today about Boston, about the marathon, about staying safe, staying off the marathon course, and of course about hashtag Backyard Boston Marathon. We hope everybody will get out there on Monday in some way and participate. And please consider donating to a COVID relief charity near you or that means something to you. And also get on the social media and show us your efforts for the day. That is, without a question, one of the best days in Massachusetts. Brian, would you agree with that?
Well, of course it is. And we can make it such this year. You know, it's like walk, run, find 26.2 people just to thank, whether you wave at your letter carrier, your Amazon Prime person, your UPS, your FedEx, whoever, if you're going to the grocery store, if you're doing that kind of thing, thank 26 people. Do it. Just send a postcard in the mail. You know, go old school. Send 26 Facebook messages to people that you haven't checked in on and see how they're doing. That's all it is.
Literally, you know, call 26 people in your contacts.
There you go. Call 26.
Just say people. Hi. Happy Patriots Day. Happy Marathon Day.
Say, I'm glad I know you. I hope you're doing well. And then give to a fund that you care about. And let us know both what you did and who you gave to. And use the hashtag Backyard Boston Marathon.
Hashtag Backyard Boston Marathon. We got to know how you did. We even are on Strava. Did you know that, Brian?
Apparently, it's happening at 10 o'clock. I wasn't aware. There was.
I didn't know I could sleep in. I thought I was up at 6 a.m.
But apparently, it's 10 o'clock. No Athletes Village. No soggy bagels.
No porta potties.
No buses. So in some ways, it's actually better than the Boston Marathon.
Well, you know, it's actually true.
It's a little more convenient anyway. You just roll out of bed. You get in your driveway, your backyard, your kitchen, or whatever you need to do.
Right. Do not go to the Copley Hotel at 4 a.m.
No.
And wait for a bus that's not coming.
Hey, look, if you have to wear a mask, then that's what you have to do.
Yeah, absolutely. It's fine.
It all depends on your location. You know, if you're in a more rural location, more suburban location, you may not have to do that, but you may have to stick very close to home. If you're in an urban location and you don't feel comfortable going outside, stay inside and do something. You know, be a part of it. I mean,
that's
if you live in the Boston area, especially, who doesn't want to be part of Patriots Day Marathon Monday? And if you live in other parts of the country or the world, this is your opportunity to participate.
This is terrific. I can't wait to see what you're coming up with. I can't wait to see if I can drink 26 ounces of water.
In one swack,
which I don't think I created that word. I think that's a real word. Greg seemed to be mystified by that.
Rightly so.
Hey, this has been episode 194 of How Was Your Run Today? Brian Gould and Peter Villa. Special thanks, of course, go to Mr. Greg Shea and Mr. David McGilvery for being guests on our show today.
You know, Peter, You may have forgotten that our social media guru is Anna Brooks. Our artist in residence is Andrea Bonnie Gould.
I hadn't forgotten that, nor had I forgotten that Jeff Cronenberg, of course, wrote all the original music.
This weekend, I think everything is hashtag Backyard Boston Marathon. But every week you can join the Sat Stat Chat. That's Instagram. That's Facebook. That's Twitter. Tell us where you ran, how the weather was.
Yeah, what's going on? It's raining.
And please include a sweet, sweet photo. And absolutely do it this week. And add the hashtag Backyard Boston Marathon.
You know, people are going to immediately say, oh my gosh, I forgot to do it on Monday because it wasn't a holiday for me. Can I throw it up on Tuesday or Wednesday? Yeah, of course. Hey, listen, we're not limiting it to just one day. If you need to get it done on Sunday early, go ahead and do it.
Peter, I'm not making light of our situation, but we're literally, and I'm using this word in a literal sense, not going anywhere.
And if you're David Macklem in Japan, you can hashtag it from Monday, but it could really be our Sunday. And you could be the first one in. I'm not saying it's a challenge, Dave. I hope you're listening. He doesn't listen to the end.
How long will this go?
You know, 10 minutes, whatever.
Oh, right? You know, I don't have any events until August, so you guys want to talk until, you know, midnight, I'm good.
Yeah. Hashtag backyard.
Why do you get to say both things, Brian? No, I don't like that. How about you say hashtag, I'll say back. Greg says Boston, and all three of us say marathon. Here we go.
Hashtag.
Boston. No.
Here we go.
Just do it again.
Hashtag.
Backyard.
Boston.
Marathon.
Marathon. Hashtag.
Backyard.
Boston.
Marathon. Gross.
People actually.
So terrible. You
know, people got rid of their Instagram accounts.
Yeah, we just ruined the whole event.
I've actually lost subscribers.
This has all been a tragic, tragic mistake. Yeah, that's not for me. I just come up with a funny ha-ha, and then I walk away. He takes it. I tell him what's wrong.
When you sound like this, it's easy to do. Anybody can do a podcast. It's so much fun.